I'm going to share with you what the Lord's been speaking to me lately. I told my wife I would not give our testimony of what we've been through, but I just want to say that part of what I'm going to share is because we've been through a process that has started in February. Well, it started a year ago, but it really initiated itself in what it properly was from February till just last week, and we bought a farm. Yeah, it's amazing. And we'll share that testimony in detail some other time. But what I learned through all of that is what faith is, what real faith looks like for me. And I'm just going to share that with you. And you've probably heard other teachings on faith. It's a foundational thing that we need to have to even be called a Christian, right? Because Jesus died, well, he walked the earth, he was born supernaturally, so start there, right? So if you enter that with faith, like, you can't just say, I believe that. You have to really believe it, because it's miraculous. Everything that God does is miraculous. He operates in signs and wonders. Mystery. He operates in mystery. And we have to become okay with mystery. See, I'm not talking about the New Age thing that really the world is trying to hijack God's true mystery. And so, you know, then it really comes into prefacing all this. As I've been walking through this in the last few months, he's been really revealing to me the importance of, okay, so if almost every New Testament book, minus what I can find is three, mentions false teaching, we have been at risk of false teaching for almost 2,000 years. So then he's really been challenging me with, what have we been taught that is false? Now, the Bible does say certain things like mixing law and grace. That's a false teaching. Right? Well, okay, so then he starts asking me questions. Scott, what is sin? Well, God, sin, the way I understood it, was missing the mark. Okay, Scott, what is the law? It's to show you that you missed the mark. So then can sin be the law if the law was fulfilled? Like, these are the things that I'm wrestling through. These are the things that he's challenging me with. I think sin is a little bit different than an action. So then that could charge the question, what is repentance? Well, repentance is the changing of the mind, but we've been taught for so long that it's stopping what you're doing. These are the things that he's really pulling out of me, and I don't have all the answers, but what has false teaching robbed us from truth? So then he asked me, what is grace? But today what we're going to focus on is, what is faith? And I just want to encourage you, like, get in the Word, get into the original language, like, because they have tools that literally will put one word right next to the other. It's in English, and then this is the Greek word, and so on. And you can go and you can look, and you can get back to the root word, and you can't interpret Greek unless you go all the way back to the root. So you got to kind of, like, challenge yourself to go into these things a little bit and actually see. Because you can't rely on me to teach you. I'm accountable for what I teach you according to Scripture, but you can't rely, it says, to test at all. So if you go home and say, wow, that was a good word, and you don't go in, get in the Word and try to prove me wrong, then I want you to. I want you to. So in this process, that everything that we went through, I experienced fear. I experienced some anxiety, things that we would say are not godly, and I agree, they're not godly, but they were there. And it reminds me of stories like David. And even though, you know, you can go in 1 Samuel chapter 7 in 17, and you can read the story of David. But there's this part of the story that's not in there that I have to ask myself, like, I wonder what I would do if I was in David's shoes. Because it talks about his stature versus Goliath's stature. It talks about all these things, but then it doesn't talk about this one moment in a river bottom where he has to look at rocks and decide which ones he's putting in his pocket and what he's thinking. Why doesn't the Bible talk about that? I don't know. It just leaves room for my imagination to sit there and put myself in David's shoes. And I can tell you that from February until last week, I experienced a lot of moments where I was picking up rocks in a river bottom and I was scared. Because I was going to go and stand before a giant that had put a whole country's army in freeze mode, doing nothing, just standing there, totally neutralized an entire army, one man. And I got to go and I got to do these things. So what faith is not, you cannot say that faith is 100% fear. Like a lack of faith is 100% fear, because you can still take one step and be in fear, trusting that he's going to show up. Another step in fear, trusting that he's going to show up. Because David went and stood before Goliath, and I think it would be crazy to say that he wasn't scared. I'd be scared to death. Served 20 years in the army. I have better equipment, better training, and everything else, but when bullets from the silly Taliban start flying at you, you get some fear. Now, how you respond determines whether or not you're victorious in that battle. But you could still have fear and move forward in faith. There's a million other issues that come along with just like, man, for me, the big one, for me personally, and I'll get into this in a little bit more later, was finances. Like, you're literally calling me to something bigger than my bank account can support. And that was proven by the world repeatedly. If you look at Abraham, you know, David was an example of going down there, picking up this rock. His failures came later, right? Like, he had issues later. But so building up to that story, it looked like he had it all figured out. He was good. And then Goliath falls. But Abraham, following his journey and chasing after God's promises, he messed up a bunch. He handed his wife over twice, once to the Egyptians and once to Abinadab, or whatever his name is. I'm just going to start saying those big words fast and see where it went. I mean, that's not all that great when you're talking about a husband that's on a call to God and says, you're my sister, just go up there and, you know. Or how about... how about agreeing that you should try to make a baby happen outside of your marriage? Like that was kind of not great, and there was some issues surrounding that. When later he had to, you know, deal with it. But if you go to Romans chapter 4, it doesn't say any of that. When Paul is remembering their great faith, he isn't saying any of that. He's not saying, well, Abraham had a ton of faith, but don't forget that he gave his wife over to two different enemies, and he had an illegitimate child, and all. No, that's not what he's remembered for. Because he didn't stop. Because he didn't say, you know what, I am not worthy to fulfill the calling of God, because I just gave my wife over to an enemy. And the enemy had to come and correct me. Because God came to him. Like, think about this. He didn't stop. That would have been a disqualifying thing that put some people freeze in their tracks and just not go after what God promised. And don't forget, with Abraham specifically, he never even saw the promise fulfilled in his lifetime. Yeah, but he said a father of nations. So, yeah, he had a son, but he didn't see the second half of that promise fulfilled. But he still continued, despite all the stuff. So listen, God can work through your error. If he's saying something to you that you need to be doing, and you're disqualifying yourself, or you're saying it's not possible, this is a charge today to get back on the horse and ride into battle. That's what I want you to feel when this is over, is like, I'm going to go back after that thing that I put on the shelf. The 1 Corinthians 1:27 says that the wisdom of God confounds the world. Something like that. Pretty close. That's Scott's. Yeah. So the foolish things, thank you, to confound the wise. So what is it that we do that the world says is stupid, or that we don't do because the world says it's stupid? And stop. That's not wisdom. Don't let the world's wisdom stop you from your purpose. Don't let it hold you back because it doesn't look smart to go forward. Because I can admit that nothing that I've done in the last 5 months and 4 days, well, to the closing, looked smart. But I believe that there's something greater than just a farm that he's calling us to, and I'm going to keep moving. And while one chapter ended, another chapter started, and I'm still going to have to walk out in faith to say that this is, you know, and I'm gonna have days where I have issues. I'm gonna need some of y'all just to come up alongside me and say, this is what God's calling you to. Don't forget that. And you guys have, and I'm gonna continue to need that. That's what family's for. You know, so just as one specific example, because this is my example, and I know there's probably close to at least 5 other ones that I can count in this church alone, about work. In this next season, what work looks like, right? For me, owning a pretty big farm and not having anything, I mean, like, my retirement and disability is paying for a lot of it, but, like, what after that? What after that? What do I do after that? And I've been clearly told, don't get a job. There's more to that story, but that's, I haven't, you know, in the one job I thought I got, like, the when it's I can't get it. I promised my wife I wouldn't get in the testimony, so I'm not. But the one job that I had to get a little job, just to make things work for people to say yes. When I got that little job, I also got a big job, and then that big job fell through. Really crazy thing. Because he actually didn't want me to have the big job. So what has the Lord been calling you to walk in absolute faith that is against what the world would say is wisdom? What has he been calling you forth from, or into, I should say, that people would call foolish? But if you allow yourself to look foolish, he will move, and it will confound the smartest people on this earth, because you can't really do what he wants to do in your life. He's going to make it happen. And only thing that can come out of that is, wow, God is real. God has to be real, because and I'm telling you, where people in this whole farm thing are like, they're looking at it now. Like, what in the world? And I talked to non-believing friends, and I'm like, the only way this ever could have happened was God. You got a VA loan on that place? Mm-hmm. There's so many things where we got told no so many times, but I promise you, this is just one testimony, like, of many more, but I'm still going to have to walk out every other one of those where the world's going to continue to come up and say, you're an idiot. You're right. I am. You're right. To you, I get it. I'm an idiot. And there's going to be days where I'm going to say, I'm an idiot. This is scary. Are you guys with me? Do you feel what I'm, like, just, you don't have to, but just a show of hands. Has God been calling you to something? Maybe it's a direction of just not trusting. Let me say that again. Maybe it's a direction that's like full trust, but it's not a job. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's going to another country. Maybe it's giving something away that's really near and dear. I really don't know. But I know this. We've been talking about him shaking things up. You know, maybe he wants to change the definition of work. I mean, like I said, there's like five people that are looking at what work looks like, what moving forward. And they're responding and they're walking in faith. And it's scary. But maybe the definition of work, maybe this 9-to-5 to pay off our debts and to own a home and all that stuff isn't what God intended. It sounds like slavery to me. It felt like slavery. A big part of our next journey is depending on God financially for us. Literally. And it's scary for me because I've never not had a paycheck. Not never. I've always had money in the bank account. But I'm going to have to make a choice and move forward. And maybe we eat some rice and beans, and maybe you think that sounds crazy, but to me, it's worth it. It's worth it. Because I know whatever happens on the far end of that, and I'm not looking to be a millionaire. I just know that he's going to make, I have a vision to put food on your plate because I think food is going to disappear soon in the way that we know it. Bill Gates wants to make bug burgers. You can go back and listen to my 2 hours of talking about farming a couple months ago. So this is what I really just want to invite the worship team back up. And I just want to tell you that you haven't messed up your destiny. You haven't messed up the calling that God has put on your life, the dream that he's put in your hands. Maybe he's changed it a little bit. You know, maybe he's shifted it around a little bit. Maybe he's put an even bigger one in there because you were faithful just in the waiting, and then something else happened, and it wasn't even your fault. Maybe he actually had something bigger. I'm tired of I misheard. I don't know. All of that. Let's just get that behind us and quit questioning how much bigger God's vision is for us and his purposes for us, and be willing to run headlong into the risk that is his promise. Is that fair? Does anybody feel that? Or you guys think, oh, he's just like, come on. Nobody, come on. So here's what we're going to do. Listen, this is a broad net, but maybe you need some healing because you've had a lot of disappointment. We define how we respond a lot by disappointment. And if God's never showed up for you financially and you're looking for a big thing, you know, provision, let me pray for you, or pray for me even, because that's me, that he's going to show up when you need him the most. Or maybe it's literally you just feel frozen because of fear. Let someone pray for you and just come up here and experience the Father. Just like Michael said, he wants to pick you up and he wants to run to the finish line with you. He doesn't want you to do this alone. You weren't intended to do this alone. Is everybody okay? Are you guys thinking about, like, man, Maybe an old dream's coming back right now. I just release the permission to have that old dream come back right now. To trust him with it. To trust yourself with it. It's time that childlike faith comes back. In John chapter 8, Jesus says that the people who steal the childlikeness of my kids is better off that they weren't even born. To me, that doesn't mean immaturity. To me, that means trust. How often? If you want, just start making your way up here. Just if you're feeling a call, like if you're feeling a pull on this word for supernatural faith, faith that surpasses any kind of understanding. Maybe you've been walking it out and you need a breakthrough. Come up. And it's not to single you out. Hear me now. It's not to single you out. It's not to single you out. Because I'm going to be up here too. And if you don't think that God's calling you somewhere big, just wait. Because that's the season we're in. We've been talking, you know, the Red Pill series was all about the Babylonian system and how we've been deceived and all this stuff. We're going to continue to see truth. Layers of lies peeled off, and we're going to get to the root of the truth of the matter. And I think this is just another one where we've allowed disappointment, judgment, failure, all these things to be lies layered on top of truth. And Daddy wants to deal with those today. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you. If you were here last week, and we sang that song, Thank You, over and over and over again, and hope and joy started bubbling up in the house. It was contagious. It was, he loves to be thanked. He loves to be thanked. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you that you didn't leave us where we were all those years ago when we were doing our own thing and we were ready to walk away from you. We were ready to give it up, to hang it up. Life, I was ready to hang up life at one point and walk away from it all. But he was faithful. And I know he's been faithful for each and every one of you in your lives. And so we just thank you, Daddy, that you loved us that much, that you gave Jesus to us so that we could be victorious. We carry the victor within us. We thank you for that. We thank you that you're trustworthy. We thank you that we can trust you. You're better than FedEx, UPS, Amazon's two-day shipping. You always show up. You always show up. And on time. Thank you. So we thank you for delivering packages today. Gifts from heaven today. Of yes and amen on these things that people are believing for. And Lord, we just ask that as they leave those things that they've been carrying that are not the way you see them up here at the altar, that you would smash them. Smash all that unbelief. Smash all that doubt. Smash all that fear. We thank you for provision. Provision of love, your love. We thank you that you just, it cascades over us. Paul writes about that in Romans. Your love cascades over us. We honor you. We honor you. And I just break off the lie that you need to do what the world says do and make sense of it all. And I just give you permission. And I believe God's giving you permission to look completely foolish to the world. For the sake of saying it, I always heard this. You can't spell faith without risk. But the thing is it's not risk because it's insured. Amen. So if you need to leave, I bless you to leave. Have a great week. If you're still having things stirring in your heart, there's going to be time to come up. We're just going to worship and we're going to deal with things up here, however that goes. And I just want to give you full permission. You can go get your kids, bring them in. Maybe you want to do this as a family. But I appreciate you guys. Hearts, just honor and respect that the Lord is ministering up here to people who have come up, okay? Bless you guys. Thank you.